You're listening to Almost Famous with Jim Francis Meza, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right, testing, testing, 1, 2. I am super delighted to have a great show. Today's going to be an epic show, I guarantee you. There's going to be something for everyone. I have a great person here with me I'm going to introduce in a bit. He looks like, he might as well be a basketball player. He's a guy who's like towers me, you know. He's amazing. He's a personal friend of mine. Just recently, I think in the last, a couple years, we'll hear all about it, but he's been involved in a host of things where he helps out the community. The guy I met some time ago with, where I think he was working for Zachary Levi, which is amazing, or he was part of this think tank of sorts. He'll tell us all about that, and he runs a football league in one of my old stomping grounds. I mean, the guy is pretty darn impressive. And not to be, his name is going to sound synonymous to somebody else, but no, this guy's making his own footprints. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, I had to just introduce you, man. I can't help it.
Let's do it.
You're just awesome. You're a monolith. You're a freaking awesome cat in my book, brother. You know that. Guys, give it up for Brandon Dean Johnson.
Do I clap too?
You can if you like.
I'll clap at my own name.
It's a synergy thing. Yeah. You know? We give each other, right?
I'll take it.
Energy. I am super delighted to have you here, man. Thanks for making the trek all the way out here. I understand you came from, didn't you come from Georgia all the way down here?
No. Close enough, downtown. So, you know, after hours, LA traffic. It's a whole, but, you know, I'll do it for you.
Hey, man. Thank you so much again. Yeah. Let's put it here.
Mm-hmm.
The last time you and I spoke, we talked about over the phone. There was we had a little convo in terms of like where you were, what you were doing, because you're always doing something pretty impressive, which we're going to hear about too. Your nonprofit, your for profit that you're involved with. I mean, it's quite phenomenal. But we were talking about possibly having you back on my other podcast, because the Jim and James Morning Podcast. But prior to that, we had you on the Juicy Divas Confessions of a Limo Driver podcast with yours truly and my co-host Seth. How do you like find the time to work doing all this? So let's just back it up to when we started, we went over to a space out in the valley. We won't say where.
Yeah.
But you were working at Nerd HQ. Yeah. Can you kind of tell us what that was about?
So Nerd HQ was this amazing nerd event that happened every year at San Diego Comic-Con. Okay. And it was founded by Zachary Levi, you know, the actor that's been in Shazam, Chuck, all these big time movies. So I was honored to work with that company for years, and I was tasked with making all the graphics and all the merchandise and stuff like that. So you know, originally I'm from North Carolina, moved out here and struggled to find a job, and that was one of the first like major jobs that I had. And wow. It just, you know, it made that perfect trek for me to get to where I am today. I mean, during these Comic-Con events, I was meeting a lot of people in the industry. We would have panels with people from Walking Dead, Breaking Bad, you know, having Bryan Cranston do like one of the most famous memes during that was incredible. And just being able to meet these people, Stan Lee, we had even Chadwick, you know, from Black Panther at it before he was even Black Panther. It was the same year he was announcing that he was Black Panther. So for me to be around all these amazing people, I just took that energy within my own life and just started doing what I'm doing now.
And that's how you and I met, and we ended up coming down to the studio, and I think you showed me some pretty impressive things. And if I'm not mistaken, you gave my son and I a tour, right?
Yeah.
Didn't I bring my son? He must have been like 5 or 7. Shout out to James Matthew. He's now 20.
Is he really?
20.
Whoa.
And he's doing great things at the university, you know.
Okay.
And yeah, dude, we'll talk about it after the show. So yeah, he's doing a lot of cool stuff. He wants to get into the UFC, and you know, he wants to. Okay. Yeah, he doesn't want to be in. Yeah, you know, he still wants to preserve his $1 billion face.
Is he beefed up? Is he?
No. He wants to preserve the $1 billion face. He wants to be behind the camera, so to speak. He wants to be the guy that sort of orchestrates some of these fights, if you will, and sort of, you know, the logistical aspect of how you put the stuff together. Yeah, and he's worked hard at doing different things. So you know, but back to my boy, you then left Nerd HQ at some point, and then tell us a little bit about it's hold on, is it Hoodlin?
Yeah. So dude, let me give you the whole trek real quick, because from Nerd HQ, it's so funny because we were in the same building as a pretty big animation studio. In all my life, I wanted to work in animation. So every day, you know, I was going to Nerd HQ, but also being around all these other creative folks. So, you know, we'll be at the water cooler and you know, talking with everybody. So when Nerd HQ was kind of coming to a short end, I was talking to folks saying like, hey, I would love to work with you guys. So within the same building, I just jumped from Nerd HQ over to a company called Pure Imagination Studios. So with Pure Imagination Studios, that's where a lot of the fun actually began for me, or continued, because I was working on all the projects I wanted to work on as a kid. So, you know, working on stuff for Looney Tunes, stuff for Batman, Spider-Man, Black Panther, and a lot of people from Nerd HQ, those actors, were involved with the studio. So it was like a full circle there. So I worked there for a while, and my resume just went up. My portfolio went up. And that was an amazing experience. And then, you know, Pure Imagination Studios is still doing some amazing stuff now. Right. But I did end up leaving in 2021 and started to pursue my own stuff.
Right.
So during that whole time of working for PI, I was actually running my own for-profit Bigfooters, which is a production company. Right. And through Bigfooters, you know, me and my team were making our own content. So I made this hilarious puppet show called Ratchet Rachel.
It's on YouTube.
It's
really cool, man.
Yeah.
Hats off to you, brother.
Thank you. And I mean, you know, with that show, I was doing everything from writing, directing, puppeteering, voiceover, editing, and with the help of my right-hand man, Jose Hawkins, who was my behind-the-camera guy, we made something very amazing. So amazing that the company, Pure Imagination Studios, they were looking at it, and then it ended up getting picked up by a studio.
Amazing, bro.
And from there, it just, you know, it went up. And we had our eyes set on, you know, having it be a show for like Adult Swim or Comedy Central. But then the pandemic hit when we were really trying to make some strides there. But yeah, you know, I left PI in 2021 with having Ratchet Rachel in my back pocket, which was cool.
Yeah, that kind of elevated you to another level with the Ratchet Rachel. I know a lot of people know you from that. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I know we talked about it and I watched it. It's really cool stuff.
Yeah.
On YouTube. You guys get a chance. And the idea that this is your baby, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? And then now it's taken a life of its own.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's being picked up by a great studio. I mean, how do you feel, dude? Like all your ducks are in a row.
Yeah.
You know, everything you've ever dreamt about as a child, you know, it's unfolding right before your eyes. Mm-hmm. Like, what is that feeling that, you know?
Yeah, you know, the feeling for me is like the job isn't done type thing. You know, it's okay. Like I'm getting there. I've accomplished this goal. But then once you accomplish that, you realize like, whoa, there's so much more that needs to be done. So even with Ratchet Rachel having the success that it had for the while, I was like, well, there's still so much untapped potential within myself.
Totally.
And not just within myself, within my friends around me.
100%.
I had friends that were trying to do short films and doing this. And I said, why don't I just tap in with them and help them pursue their stuff? Because when we work together, we climb together.
That's right.
So, you know, I've helped produce award-winning short films with some friends, and grow in other areas too. So I'm always the type of person that's like,
reinventing yourself every
not just reinventing, but adding on to it. I have so
your
many
palette, right?
Yeah. So I want to be that person. I always wanted to be the person I am today as a kid, just to be able to say like, oh, well, this guy is a mogul. You know, he has this connection, he has that connection. He's not just for himself; he's for the people too.
Right.
And that's what I'm still doing now.
And it leads you to El Sereno, which shout out to El Sereno, guys. It's a great little town. It's I would say it's well over 110 years. One of the older little cities.
Yeah.
Northeast, I would say, of the river, but fantastic nevertheless. Really close to Alhambra and Monterey Park and you know, City Terrace.
Uh-huh.
Great little town. I went to school there. I told you I went to El Sereno Junior High School many years ago. And it's funny because 2 weeks ago when I had started my show, I talked about a certain caricature guy. This guy is just funny. Like, you look at him and he's just hysterical. he's really good. Like, he's a good actor. And he's Jimmy Kimmel's like sidekick. Guillermo.
Yeah.
So you know Guillermo in El Sereno. He went to Wilson.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, dude. Well, I found out a lot about it when I befriended his cousin and him. He told me the whole story.
Wow.
He hailed from El Sereno Junior High.
That's crazy.
El Sereno.
I mean, El Sereno, I would say there's nowhere in LA like El Sereno, just because based on the community.
It's great.
I was having a cookout the other day. After, because I coach football now out there.
I know. You tell me all about it.
I'll tell you all about it. But the fact that I was able to go to the local butcher and he came up to me and was like, hey, you were at practice with my son. You tackled my son and, you know, I'm mad at you. But he really wasn't. Yeah. But the fact that, you know, I was buying the meat. I was short on cash. He said, just come back with the $7.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then he also gave me avocados.
Really?
And it's like, there's nowhere else in LA that does that. Walk down the street and people actually know who you are.
Yeah.
And it's not that fake LA facade behind it.
Yeah.
I lived here in the Valley for 8 years and I was very much a community person trying to find somewhere to be a part of the community. And I just couldn't find it out here.
Good luck. Not in the Valley.
But I mean, El Sereno, I can really provide the city, especially the youth, with mentorship and that extra stuff that they need. On top of them already being an extra amazing community.
So why don't we stop on and talk about that in and of itself? You struck a chord with me, as you know. I am not to talk about me because it's about you.
Yeah.
And we're here to learn more about what you do with the community.
Mm-hmm.
The underprivileged. I grew up in a neighboring city in Lincoln Heights.
Yeah.
And growing up in Lincoln Heights, there was a lot of poverty in and around. And, you know, there was... the gang culture, mm-hmm. and you had the rockers, and then the new wavers, and the hip hop kids, and the skaters. Which I was a skater for many years growing up. I loved skateboarding, but those were the outlets. And unfortunately, a lot more people got involved in the gang and the house parties and that kind of thing. It's so rewarding. That's it. Like, looking back, when I go back to the community and I'm able to give one person, listen to what I'm going to say, one person, you guys, some feedback as to, look, this is your life, but this is what your life's going to look like. I would say, let's start making these small changes and look at the small successes, what any little small success. And then, you know, hope to God that they continue on this path, because a lot of these people are not given the chance to grow. They're never patting the back, which football, sports, is where that comes in. When you pat somebody back, you can do it. And when they feel like they have come a long ways, even when it's like, oh my God, I did a touchdown, whether it's baseball, we hit it out of the park, we did good today.
Mm-hmm.
That helps build character in a person. It helps build a lot of things, of which a lot of small components that honestly nourish a person. And then, you know, you're able to get out of the neighborhood, go to college.
Yep.
You know, and be fortunate enough to have, like, things that you only dreamt about when you're growing up. Because, you know, and that was one person that I've talked to, and I'm able to, you know, coerce almost into, hey, man, you got to leave this kind of lifestyle. Look, there's more to life than just the neighborhood.
Yeah.
The four walls, so to speak.
Exactly.
There's a lot more, and you can do it. But to, you know, like, a person that, like yourself, for example, we're going to get back to what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so rewarding, man. I can't 100%. Imagine how you go to bed at night and how much of an impact you make in a child's life when they realize, oh my God, if you can do it, like you said, I can too.
Yeah.
And we've all had mentorship programs. I had a mentorship program of my mom. You know, my mom was like mentoring me and telling me, you know, there's more to this. The poverty is, it can hold you down, but if you allow it to only, the way to get out is, you know, you read your books. And I was told I needed to read books day in, day out when I was a kid, you know. And that's what helped me. And outlets out there, you know, like going to the park and getting involved in any kind of activity and just getting involved on a voluntary basis it enriched my life. And it helps me to this day get involved and enrich the life of a child. So how does Brandon feel when you're able to help and touch the lives of many students in El Sereno?
Yeah, I mean, the bigger thing is that, let's talk about the nonprofit real quick, because this will make it full circle.
Okay. Full circle. Let's do it.
So, you know, I during all the fun times of me working for Nerd HQ and Pure Imagination Studios, I was volunteering with an organization called Create Now. So, you know, when I moved to LA, I was homeless. So I came out here, you know, I had me and my friends, we had our eyes set on a place in Santa Clarita, not realizing how far Santa Clarita was from the actual city. We had jobs set up and, you know, interviews at least set up. Came out here one of the hottest summers, I think it was 2014. And the apartment wasn't ready, which made us, you know, we were on the streets and we had already paid the deposit and everything. And we just got gypped. So we were on the streets for about a week, 2 weeks, just trying to figure out what LA really was. And again, and being in Santa Clarita, driving all the way down and coming back and all this, it was bad. So during that time, I told myself, like, hey, you know, once I make it big, I'm going to get back to the community.
Absolutely.
I'm going to find some way to get back. So with my artist passion as a passion, I was looking up organizations that dealt with art and with kids. And, you know, I found a handful of them and I reached out to all of them and every single one of them was like, no, we don't need you. Nah, you're giving free time. We're at capacity or you don't have the qualifications right now, blah, blah, blah. Or they wouldn't reply back. So Create Now, the founder and the CEO at the time, her name was Jill Gurr. She gave me a call and was like, hey, I saw your application. I would love for you to come in. So at that time that I was talking to her, I had a place in Van Nuys that I was living at, an apartment. So I sat down, I took the train all the way down to the office, which is in downtown. And I sat with her for 2 hours and we just talked. And from there, it was like, cool, Create Now is my home. So they could ask me for anything and I would do it. So the first task they put me with was, hey, clean up our back storage closet. It's a mess. You know, you're big, strong. You know, I think it was 24 at the time. Go clean it up. So, you know, for about a week, I was doing that for free, you know. And then from there, they were like, oh, cool. We trust you. We see, you know, you have good energy. How about you teach a class for us? Wow. So I taught a class at an unhoused shelter with about 30 kids in there. And all these kids, they didn't have a home. They were living in the shelter. And I was teaching them how to paint murals. And I remember after the first class, one kid came up to me and was like, hey, where are you going? Like, you're not staying here? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going home. And at that point, I was like, whoa, I'm really saying I'm going home here in L.A. where, you know, just months ago I was on the streets. And now this kid that didn't put himself in this situation is going through that and having to see life through a different lens. So from there, I just stuck with Create Now. Multiple classes I taught. And then they asked me to be a part of their board. So I became a board member. From board member, I became board chair. And then during the pandemic, after I left Pure Imagination Studios, they were like, hey, how about you become CEO? And it's like, what? How is this all happening? What? It happened at a, it happened at a time that it was meant to, because the CEO, Jill, ended up passing away at the top of 2022, I believe.
Get out of town, really.
Yeah, 2022, 2023. Oh, I mean, time just flies right now. But the fact that I was able to be with her for almost eight, nine years and learn from her. It was amazing. And also, you know, I get to carry on her legacy, but while also bringing in my own, you know, style touch. And put in touch. Yeah. So with that being said, you know, I run a 27-year-old art nonprofit, that's been here. Wow. Yeah. And I'm taking it to higher levels.
Remarkable, bro.
And yeah, and El Sereno, I moved to El Sereno last year. And ever since I moved in, I was like, I got to get into the school. So I live right across the street from El Sereno, okay. Middle school.
Right.
So when you say how old it is, you know, there's that old,
it was their Farmdale.
Yeah. That old building. And it's so funny. The teachers took me there for a tour and I'm like, I swear there's like ghosts or something. Chills? Oh my gosh.
Okay. I felt the same chills. Let me tell you what happened. I was going there. Clearly this is junior high. So I'm dating myself. It's like the late '80s, early '90s. Mm-hmm. And I'm walking in and I remember seeing this ginormous, like, I mean, big, kind of like Little House on the Prairie sorts.
Yeah.
Kind of a building, and it gives me kind of like the the you know, like it's giving me these vibes of, you know, this is gotta be like otherworldly.
Yeah.
And somebody tells me that it's the original 1800s Farmdale School. So look it up, guys, online.
Yeah.
Farmdale Original School. And they're online, you can see like children walking in and out. I felt chills immediately when I went up because I was asked to go and help somebody remove some of the desks that they kind of place in there. And not knowing that I was going to feel a brush of like cold, you're like a draft of whatever it was. And I felt it.
Yeah.
And so the thought, it could have just been like just the thought of it, you know,
mm-hmm.
but, I felt something. Well, and I know what I felt.
Yeah,
you know?
And I definitely felt it too. Yeah. And I mean, what just added to that experience was that they have pictures of like the kids that went there, and you know, these kids in the photo, they were probably, I think, 10 to 13 or whatever.
Because that was an elementary school.
It was Farmdale, so it, probably even younger than that. But their uniforms for going to PE, they were dressed like they were going to church,
right? Right.
And they were like in these straight lines, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like woo, but no, that place is
haunted for sure.
It's haunted, but just the fact that that's still standing,
it's amazing.
Right? It has such a presence,
right?
It's amazing. You know, I was able to ring the bell, so the fact the kids were there ringing the bell, our teachers was crazy. But when I moved in, I saw all the schools in the area, and then I saw, you know, some kids. So long story short, I was going to all the community events I could, and me and my girlfriend were going, and then we went to something called the Kite Festival, which is up there on the hill next to Wilson. I forgot the name of the hill.
Prescott or Ascot Hill?
Ascot Hill. Yeah. So we were up there, and the Stallions had a booth, mm-hmm. and their president and co-president were there, and they saw me. They were like, hey, come over here. Do you want to be a coach? And I'm like, you guys don't want me to coach. And my girlfriend was like, wait, you guys have a cheerleading squad too? And they're like, yeah. She was like, oh, sign me up. I want to be a cheerleader coach. So I was like, okay, cool. She's doing it. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So I signed up to be a football coach.
So you got volunteered in by your girl.
I got volunteered in. Funny thing about it, she lasted for probably all of a month and a half. And I'm still in it. Like, I'm in it hard. So she was traveling a lot for work and just got overwhelmed. But just the football alone is just me in the community. But on top of that, when I first moved in, I saw the middle school, saw the elementary school, and I told myself, I got to bring them programming somehow. So there was one day I was walking to practice, and there was a young man in handcuffs. He couldn't have been no older than 12, 13 in handcuffs right in front of the middle school. And you know, he looked a little hung up a little bit. And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, and I walk past him and I almost make it to the field. I'm like, let me turn back around and just try to talk to this kid, you know? So I went up, and while the police were talking to him, I'm like, I put one officer to the side. I'm like, what did he do? Like, and they were like, we can't tell you that, blah, blah, blah. And I said, can I talk to him afterwards? So, after they let him go, I walked with him kind of close to down the street, and I'm trying to talk to him, and he was kind of disconnected, but I'm trying to like understand like, hey, what do you like to do? You know, I would love to support you in any way possible. And I was able to get out of him that he liked to do music. Yeah. So, you know, for a kid to say music, that's something that my organization offers. So I wasn't able to get his number or anything like that. But I asked him, what school do you go to? He said, I go to this school right here, which was El Sereno Middle School. So I made it like one of my number one tasks to get into that middle school. So, you know, emailing all the teachers, going on LinkedIn, Facebook, just trying to find a connection. Nothing. Emailed the principal. Nothing. So I asked my neighbors. I'm like, hey, did you have a daughter or kid, whoever? Did they go to the school? Yeah. Do you have any connections? Yeah, I'll get you in contact with so and so. So from there, I was able to get my foot in the door. And fantastic. Then I offered Farmdale about 500 free journals. So these were like highly produced journals from a group out in South Africa. And they were called Dreamcast Journals. Okay. And with that, it was like a gift to the school to say like, hey, we're real. Take us seriously. We want to provide. So they gave them out to all the school in Farmdale.
What a blessing.
And the teacher started using that as a class, assignment.
Or whatever.
Yeah. So every kid there at that school knows what a Dreamcast journal is, and they know that Create now gave it to them. So from there, the middle school heard about it. It was like, what? All the kids got what? So they were like, how do we get part of that? So long story short, we are now in El Sereno Middle School full-time throughout the year, also in Farmdale throughout the year. So we're always doing art programmings for those two schools.
There's also El Sereno Elementary
School. Elementary. Yeah. So I just made connections with them a couple weeks ago where I talked to all their kids about what I do in my life. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that can lead us into doing programming at that school. But I want to get into Wilson next and just have that whole area on lockdown.
And then there's the continuation, El Pueblo, across the street from McDonald's. There's the little link.
There's a little one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think that's a continuation. I think that the word is getting around.
No,
and
for
quite
sure.
Frankly, I mean, I'm sure by the end of by the end of the year, you're probably going to be in Alhambra District also.
No, El Sereno's my home. You know, I'm not taking it. But no, I mean, Create now is all over LA.
Yeah.
So we do stuff all the way down to Orange County, all the way up to here in the Valley.
Cool.
Wherever there's kids that need our support, we're there. If we have the funding, if we have the volunteers.
Create now, guys.
100%.
Let's get involved.
Yeah. So, I mean, just like me, I was telling somebody today, like, you, with your volunteerism, with you coming in and supporting, that's how strong Create Now will be. And just looking at myself and other people on my team, they're in these spots of leadership because they showed that they wanted to be leaders. I showed that I wanted to be a leader when I had nothing out here, and now I run the whole company. So the sky's the limit with what you want to do.
Right.
We will never say no to a volunteer unless, you know, something comes up, red flag from Department of Justice something.
Sure.
But we are always looking for volunteers. People don't have to be artists. They just have to have a passion for youth and giving back.
Yeah.
So,
Count me in. I'm in.
Yeah. Everybody should be in, but you know, Jim will take you for sure.
I enjoy giving back. I've gotten involved with different things. I never with the nonprofit other than Safe Streets.
Okay.
Now I'm involved with Safe Streets. But I'm not having really, like, I've talked to you in the past. I knew you were involved in different, you have your hand dipped in different stuff, and it's always the creative ways.
Yeah.
Which me as an actor, and obviously you and I have, you know, we've dealt with different things in the industry, but, like the nonprofit, and then I tell you what city, and you're like, of all cities in LA, it's like El Sereno. I'm like, dude, I went to junior high there.
Yep.
I lived 10 minutes away from there. It warmed my heart, and needless to say, I felt like, oh my gosh, like full circle. Like, I need to get involved in this because I have so much I can share. I mean, like, a lot of people might say, oh, well, you don't know the difference because, you know, they read you, like, you read a book,
and they
kind of take it like, oh, this guy is coming on, but what can he possibly offer if he never lived my life?
Yeah, yeah.
And little do they know that I might have a lot more in common than they know, you know? So, Brandon, I really, really enjoy, you know, our conversations, you know, when we have conversations about things, but I also want to, you know, for you to impart more about you know, your nonprofit, mm-hmm. but more in the way of I wanna touch up on the for-profit. Yeah. I know you had non-profit and a for-profit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll talk a little bit more about the for-profit.
Yeah. So the for-profit is still the company Bigfooters. So production company where me and my team, we just come up with ideas that we can pitch to bigger studios. You know, Ratchet Rachel was like one of our first like major projects that showed us like the potential.
The brainchild of Mr. Brandon.
Yeah, the brainchild, you know, the back voice for me too, because I do voice her.
What can't you not do, dude?
Like, don't test me. We'll find out. But yeah, from when we weren't able to film Ratchet Rachel stuff, I pulled a character from that universe called the Hoodlums.
Yeah.
And from the Hoodlums are these small sock puppets that are basically Rachel's minions. During the pandemic, I just started drawing these characters. Yeah, there we go. You guys can see that.
Yeah.
But I started drawing these characters, and I think he even went to my first art show.
I went to your first art show down on Pico.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was so rad.
So yeah, that first art show showed me kind of like in a midlife crisis of what I was doing during the pandemic, and I ended up painting over 101 pieces of these characters on canvases, and some of these canvases were small, a lot of them were huge, but the fact that there was 118 pieces just for me solo in that show was pretty dope. And I mean, the bigger part was that it showed me how invested people were in it, because more than half of the show sold, and that's also on not even mentioning the merchandise that was sold on top of that as well. So from there, we've really been growing this brand called Hoodland Mania, which is part of the Ratchet Rachel universe.
Hoodland Mania.
And that right there is a huge connection for me, not just with, you know, the adults, but also with the kids. Because, you know, these are colorful characters. They're bright, vibrant. And every time I do something within a school through Create Now, I'm always, you know, circling back saying like, hey, take a look at this sticker. You know, I made this.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I made this cartoon.
Right.
This is what you could do in the future.
Yeah, just the idea that
it's an idea.
Like, that I can work on here, bro. Like, like I made this. Kind exactly. Of thing. Like, that's pretty rad.
And I mean, and these kids, they look at me. First off, they think I'm a basketball player because, like you said, I'm 6'8".
Or the mayor of Chicago, right?
Yeah, or the mayor of Chicago. I got him beat on sides too.
Yeah, I think you did.
But they're like, you're a basketball player, and I need youth and also adults to understand. Like, don't put a person in a box. No. Don't judge a book by its cover, because I'm far greater than a basketball player. Not saying that I'm not athletic or anything. I'm definitely athletic, but that's not my passion. My passion is art. My passion is creating and connecting. And the fact that I'm able to do this with the Hoodlums is amazing. And even with that first art show, I gave back. So I gave a percentage of that art show back to Create Now for them to do programming with that money.
Wow.
And not even just programming, but people don't realize like there's operational funding that needs to be done. A lot of nonprofits don't have operating funds to pay for their staff or pay for materials. So I was able to give a portion back of the show to them.
And you're also teaching, I think you're teaching like as you're talking and you're speaking to many viewership and listenership, people are picking up also entrepreneurship skills.
Yeah.
Because these skills can pretty much tell anyone, hey, you know what? If you can do it, I can do it too.
Yeah.
And you learn like kind of like the logistics of how to create something from the ground up, which is not easy.
It's easier
in theory than it is in practice.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I'm definitely at that point now in my life to where if I can think it, cool, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
But when I was younger and coming up with these ideas, I had to learn how to do it.
Yeah.
And it was so hard then. But
what would you say are some of your struggles like when we start? I mean, for those listening and watching and intently, okay, and I hope you guys are sharing this video, man, because you could far exceed and bypass a lot of like homes if we would just share some of the videos that we're watching at LA you know, talk radio.
Yeah.
Okay. With Almost Famous. I mean, obviously you can learn a lot more and by sharing, more people can get blessed and it could reach more audiences that way. So go back to that.
Yeah. So, I mean, the struggle of starting off, I'll drop a few
nuggets, jewels,
whatever we call it.
Jewels.
Yeah. It's the fact of not knowing and experience. Experience is key for doing whatever. And people don't realize, like, sometimes that experience is you not getting paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
Going through those struggles on somebody else's dime, sure, instead of your own dime.
Right.
You know, me working for Nerd HQ, I was learning at that time how to make merchandise, how to market.
Wow.
And that was on somebody else's dime. Yeah. Even before that, we didn't talk about this, but I lived in Europe for 3 years. So I lived in Poland and I lived in London. And out there, it was straight out of college. Right. I wasn't getting paid nearly as much as what I should have been. Sure. But it was more of the experience. So me living out there, learning how to market, how to talk to people, how to be out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
A lot of people want to stay within their comfort zone. You know, for
listen
me
to this nugget.
Yeah, for me to be across the world around people that don't even look like me, right, and still be successful out there, that right there alone, it will show a person what they're capable of. Me coming out here not having a place to live, you know, or anything, that also showed me how strong I was, because I had friends that went to my high school that were also living out here. They had a beautiful apartment down in Pasadena,
sure,
right above, I think the Gold Line is out there.
Oh yeah,
so it was right there. So you know they were dropping, you know, a couple grand.
Yeah, right by the Colorado.
Yeah,
by the old town.
Yeah. So I mean, they were out here. They had money, and they didn't have a job.
Right.
So as they started to lose money, they were like, "Oh, well, we got to leave. We can't live out here without money."
Right.
But the fact that, you know, me and my friends, we were still staying out here because we were ready to hustle. Yeah. We were ready to get down and
so
dirty.
So it's that, like, aspiration for more.
It's
aspiring for more.
It's being the
hungry, the drive.
It's not even that. But if you are meant to do something, you're going to do it.
Right. True.
If you're saying it
kind of pulls you in that direction.
Yeah. If you're saying, "Oh, it's too hard. Oh, I don't know," then that means it's not for you.
Right.
You got to let it go. There's no reason for you to beat that horse. If deep down inside you don't feel it.
Ain't that the truth?
But every day, like for me, I wake up. What can I do creatively?
Right.
How do I work my muscle to grow?
Yeah.
So it's just like going to the gym.
Right.
You know, I do drawings every day. I do something every day so I get better in that.
You're a hell of an artist, dude.
I'm a good artist. I'm super creative. And to tell you the truth, I don't know where I got that from, but it's a blessing.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because my football coach in high school said, you know, it's a sin not to use your God-given gifts.
Yeah.
And for me, he was talking about my height.
Yeah.
But he didn't really realize.
Yeah.
I was a far better
artist
than...
That's true, because, like, I learned how to play guitar when I was in my 20s,
mm-hmm,
you know, by watching somebody else play. And I learned, like, the first song I learned how to play was the Sweet Child of Mine riff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I was watching Slash over and over. I started with the very first deal, first key, and it's like, okay, dude, I don't even know how it goes right now, because I'm on the spot.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, like, Metallica now.
Yeah.
But all the bars and whatnot, it started because, like, I was doing so many other things before,
mm-hmm,
and I always had, well, my dad's a musician, but, you know, not a discovered musician by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, I always had that inclination of, like, music. Musically, I knew how I could write songs. I can write songs,
mm-hmm,
because I always knew that, like, I would be singing a song. You know, you go to school, because you probably had the same thing, and everyone has a song in their head.
Yeah.
Well, I start creating bars and just riff. Like, I see a girl, like, you know, this thing, and you twirl your hair, you know,
yep,
but it might be unfair, you know, you had baby, you dare,
yeah,
you know, and you come up with things,
yeah,
and raps,
yeah,
and that's how song is all poetry. Music's all poetry.
Yeah. But that's also a blessing, too.
Right.
Because some people, it's so funny, people look at what I do, and they're like, how?
How
are you able to do that? I do that a lot for, you know, rappers, yeah, or actors, like, yeah, how are they able to do this? And that's a talent.
Acting is a talent.
It's a talent. Another thing is, like, you know, not letting people tell you that what you are passionate about or what you want to do is stupid or unrealistic. There are so many people that told me growing up that you won't get a job as an artist.
Totally.
You can't.
100%.
And it's so funny because those people that told me that don't even know artists.
Yeah.
So how are you going to tell me that I can't do something when you don't even know what it takes yourself?
Right.
So, I mean, my dad, you know, he loves me to death and everything, but he was, I remember, like, you know, going back to school and we're getting that that list of items that you got to buy for school.
Uh-huh.
He's going through it, folder, binder, coloring pencils, crayons. You don't need this. Right. Like, but deep down inside, like, I was super passionate about the arts.
Yeah.
So, you know, never tell a person that they can't do something that you don't truly fully understand.
Right.
And if you are telling them, you should never tell a person they shouldn't do anything. Period. If you're going to give them advice,
like constructive advice or whatever.
Constructive. Yeah. Just don't leave it like, no.
Right.
Tell them, like, oh, maybe you should think about it because I know X, Y, and Z.
Right.
But never tell a person, like, no, don't.
Because everyone has their own journey at the end of the day.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I believe that wholeheartedly. I mean, you and I were in sync in so many ways. Because as artists, you know, every day you're always gonna, like, hit a wall from time to time, and the challenge in and of itself, the journey, you know, getting to the next level, like, holy cow. And then you get to that point and you realize, you kind of surprise yourself. Mm-hmm. How did I even get here?
Yeah.
And you get there. I mean, it's all about the journey. Most people get to the top and people go, oh my God, they're at the top, but they don't realize that the journey, the learning, you know, the bumps, the bruises and the scrapes and, you know, the trials and tribulations are what make you later as the artist that you are, you know. Otherwise, none of that, without any of that. I mean, if it's just grandfather, if you're grandfathered into something, you're just given by, you know, sheer, like, oh, you know, you're related to somebody or whatnot. It's kind of like getting clout when you shoot, like you do a TikTok.
Yeah.
And you get famous, but then nobody knows what to do with that fame. It's an overnight thing.
Exactly.
It dies. Yeah. But the people that, with, you know, small increments of, like, hard work, hard toil, and, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, so to speak, you get to the next level, and then you finally make it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't realize the journey of an artist. You know, like with musicians, that dude made it overnight. Machine Gun Kelly made it overnight. Dude, you watch the documentary of all these cats. They've been around for a long time. And they've been told, they've gone through so much crap.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't believe in them. A lot of people think, you're a joke. You're not going to make it. The Steve Martin documentary is a great one, too.
Mm.
The stand-up comedian. Mm-hmm. He wasn't funny.
Yeah.
And suddenly, like, Steve Martin, you're like, wait a minute, the Three Amigos guy?
Yep.
I mean, he was just hilarious, like, hysterical.
My favorite movie of his is The Jerk.
The Jerk.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, The Jerk. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I'm just using those as examples. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, my God, dude, I'm, like, really happy and you're so gracious to be here. And the idea that you can make it out tonight, it means a lot to me because you inspire so many. And for me to just be able to help welcome you to some of the homes through LA Talk Radio, through Almost Famous.
Yep.
You know, I think I've done my homework and I've done my deed for the day as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate you for that. You know, if people ever come in contact with a person doing good, elevate them, you know, talk about them.
Edify them, huh?
Yeah, I mean, because you never know who else in your community or in your network might need that person as well.
Right.
So always connect good people with other good people if possible. So I do thank you. Thank you for allowing me to use your platform to elevate.
Speaking of platforms, where can people chase you down, find you, track you down?
Oh, man.
Social media, handles.
Everything.
Everything, huh?
So first off, we have bigfooters.co. That's the website. So that's BIGFOOTERS.co. So that's the for-profit. The nonprofit, Create Now, is createnow.org. If you guys just send an email there, it will go to myself or somebody on the team that will get in contact with us. Let's see. What else do we have? I mean, we have Instagram. If you want to follow Hoodland Mania on Instagram, we're there. If you want to follow myself, my personal page, it's Tall, TALLQUE, so Tall Q. But yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, social media is all over the place these days, right?
And finally, I was able to hold him down because he, like, everybody pulls him every which way. He's like the very elusive cat. Can never really hold him down. So I was able to have you, and I feel pretty blessed and lucky and beyond grateful for you to be here today.
Yeah.
This is your house. This is your home.
Cool.
You ever feel like you want to stop by? You know, I was, okay, so my buddy and I, I'm a good friend, my James Walsh, actor, you know, we had Jim and James Morning Podcast, and I had a co-host, and it's fantastic because you bounce off of each other and whatnot, but I like this because I started just myself, you know, I started with Juicy Divas Confessions of a Limo Driver, all by myself, and Seth being the co-producer, you know, my co-pilot, but it was, you know, it was quite an odyssey, and real quick, because we're almost out of time. But I just wanted to say that it was fantastic to where we got to. And then I felt like I wanted to be challenged a little more. So then Jim and James Morning Podcast, it was good. But it's always nice when I'm able to have my own platform, like my own show,
because
then I can invite you back.
Exactly.
And, you know, yeah, you can have the third guy in, the third. I know some of the shows have like four or five guys, and it's all great and dandy. But I think it's great when you have a space that you and I can share,
yeah,
so to speak, only two people, then more can get squeezed out of the lemon, so to speak.
Hey, we're here.
Yeah. So we definitely got a lot out of Mr. Johnson, Dean, what did I say? Oh, Brandon Dean Johnson.
That's a name.
I got you. I got you backwards. And I just wanted to say we're sending tributes and condolences to the Jerry West family. He just passed away, Jerry West.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was, you know, it's a... I mean, Jerry West embodied basketball, in my opinion,
yeah, yeah.
My humble opinion. Guys, don't forget to tune in. This is your show, Almost Famous, every Wednesday night. And thanks for hanging in there last week because I was running a cold, a nasty cold, hacking cough, whooping cough. I thought, for real, man, I thought like I got really like a bad case of COVID.
Yeah.
And then I was telling my wife, you know, like, dude, you know, she gave me the COVID exam. It's like, no, I didn't have anything. And then I said, wow, what in the world do I have? So I went up to Kaiser Urgent Care twice, not once. And then I got pink eye.
Oh, no.
So if
you were going through it.
Yeah, basically. Matters couldn't get any worse. I ended up with pink eye. But I'm you know what? I'm beyond blessed and thankful and grateful. I don't know if we're going beyond the time, Sam. I hope I still have time to just say thank you, viewership. Please share this information. The well of knowledge, as you can tell. Follow my man and follow me, Jim. Yours truly, Jim Francis Mesa. You could Google me. You could Google him. Both of us have done a couple of things out there who will probably pop up on Google. But at any rate, I want to thank all of you guys and keep tuning in every Wednesday. And otherwise, have a blessed rest of your night. Thank you. Thank God bless you.
You're listening to Almost Famous with Jim Francis Mesa, only on LA Talk Radio.